Plus 49.
Bienvenidos to another episode of Plus 49. I am Siri de Arteaga, and this week we're bringing you stories from across Germany that matter. From AI innovation in healthcare at Rostock Health Economy Conference to a new study showing many migrants are considering leaving Germany. We'll also hear how Berlin's BVG is making your commute friendlier and with real human voices. And we're going to be exploring Germany's growing love for quizzes on TV and in pubs. Have you ever heard about Quizduell? For our interview, we're joined by Seiyu. She is the co-founder of Little Dreamers. This is an app designed to help parents get a better night's sleep through smart personal baby sleep tracking. To be honest, I wish there would be an app similar to this for adults. She is originally from China and now navigating motherhood and entrepreneurship here in Berlin. Seiyu shares her journey, the inspiration behind the app, and what it's really like balancing parenthood with building a startup. So let's get started. This week, headlines span everything from AI-driven healthcare to migrants rethinking their future in Germany, plus a few lighter moments from Berlin's transport system and art scene. So let's get into it. In Rostock, the National Health Economy Conference drew over 700 experts to discuss AI, robotics, and cross-border innovation in the Baltic region. With 1 in 5 jobs in Mecklenburg-Vorpommern tied to the health sector, this event spotlighted how digital tools could shape the future of patient care and where talent shortages continue to hold back progress. A key highlight, the Baltic Sea Region Health Innovation Award, given to a team developing more stable pharmaceuticals in Greifswald. Meanwhile, a new federal study revealed that 1 in 4 migrants is considering leaving Germany. The reason? Well, we know it. Bureaucracy, discrimination, personal ties, and, ironically, career frustration in sectors desperate for skilled workers. Fields like IT, finance, and healthcare were especially affected. The Federal Employment Agency called the results a clear wake-up call. Germany's labor market can't function without skilled workers from third countries. Berlin's BVG is taking a more human tone. Starting this summer, passengers will hear life disruption updates delivered not by an algorithm, but by real humans, with jokes, empathy, and eventually even AI-powered English translations. The goal? Less frustration, more clarity, and even a smile. And finally, the Reichstag is wrapped up once again. Well, sort of. To mark the 30th anniversary of Christa and Jean-Claude's iconic installation, a nightly light projection now covers the Parliament building in silver fabric. Well, virtually at least. The installation runs until June the 20th and is fully funded by the Artist Foundation. That is up for our news roundup for today. Stay tuned for more. Whether it's guessing obscure facts on TV or battling strangers in a trivia app, Germany has a surprisingly deep love for quizzes. Just ask our producer Marlene and she will tell you what her hobby is. From primetime quiz shows to theme pub trivia nights, the country's fascination with knowledge as entertainment is everywhere. If you know where to look for. Let's start with TV. Wer wird Millionär? The German's version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Has been a mixture in living rooms for over 2 decades. And fewer formats keep the quiz tradition alive with creative twist. Wer stiehlt mir den Show? Literally, Who's Stealing My Show? Is a standout example. In it, celebrity contestants not only try to win the quiz, they compete for the right to host the next episode. The result is part trivia night, part talent show, and fully entertaining. Another long-run favorite is Gefragt, Gejagt, the German version of The Chase. Contestants face off against professional trivia masters, known as hunters, in a fast-paced battle of wits. Especially popular with language learners, the rapid-fire format and variety of topics make it a fun way to practice your German while boosting your general knowledge. Outside of TV, trivia thrives in digital form too. QuizDuel is Germany's go-to quiz app, and also Marlene's favorite, letting users challenge friends or strangers in real time. Its popularity even led to a televised spin-off. If you ever caught someone at the S-Bahn platform muttering facts to their phone, this might be why. And while Germany may not have the same deep-rooted pop quiz traditions as in the UK, they are definitely changing. In Berlin, Hamburg, and other university towns, trivia nights are on the rise, often bilingual, often team, and increasingly creative. Alongside the classic general knowledge rounds, you will find trash TV quizzes, friends-only trivia, and even Taylor Swift-specific editions. Hosted mostly in Irish pubs or international bars, these quizzes bring together students, expats, locals, and trivia nerds over a few pints and some friendly competition. So, why the quiz craze? Well, maybe it's because Germany's love of structure, challenge, and lifelong learning. Or maybe it is just the simple thrill of shouting out the right answer before anyone else does this. Anyway, from pop to primetime, quizzes are here to stay.
Hello, and welcome to our interview part of this week. We have a really special guest, Zeyu. I hope I'm saying that right. Yeah, maybe you can present yourself a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm super excited to be here. And I'm Zeyu. I'm a mom of a 17-month-old, and currently I'm building a product and help with baby sleep inspired by my own experience. And I've been in Berlin for more than 5 years now. Incredible. I haven't imagined that. Yeah, then that's me. And I'm from product design background. Yeah.
And you said you haven't imagined that you're in Berlin this long. So wasn't it planned that you stayed here for that long? Was it like spontaneous, or how did you get here?
Yeah, nothing about Berlin was planned. So even the decision to come to Berlin was a spontaneous decision. So I was sitting in a train with my husband together, deciding which city or which country of Europe that we're going next. And this Berlin just came into our mind because it's international, it's artistic, and we heard a lot of interesting stories about the city. And we just say, okay, let's go there. But it came that, I mean, it sounds quite romantic or a very interesting story, but because of the spontaneousness of it, our start in Berlin actually was quite difficult, because imagine we didn't have many friends here, we didn't get a job, and the housing to find an apartment is so difficult. And also we came right before the pandemic started, so the start was quite harsh, and it was in winter as well that we arrived.
Yeah, Berlin winters are not that easy. But by now, would you say you're more settled? And I mean, you've been here for 5 years, so probably you like it, right?
Yeah, it's. I mean, after the pandemic time, I started to like it more and more. I found it so diverse, so boomed, that you can basically find everything here that you need. Like, no matter what kind of people you are, or what kind of person you are, that you can find the community that you belong to.
So now tell us a little bit more about your project. What is it, and yeah, what can it be used for?
So I said this project came from my personal experience. So I became a mom in December 2023, and I was struggling a lot with my baby sleep issues. And yeah, I was really looking around for an ideal solution for that, but I couldn't find one. And as you know, like someone who come from a technical background, that we always want to create a solution that can solve the issue. So that's how I decided, okay, there's not an ideal solution in the market. I would just create one myself. That's how it started. So basically, it is an AI-driven sleep coaching app that can help to diagnose and troubleshoot baby sleep issues based on the unique tracking data of the baby's sleep. Yeah, and I'm very excited to get the product out. Now we're in the beta building. The beta launching will be soon. And I'm very excited because it can also solve my own baby sleep issues. So only for me, that I think it's worth it to do it just for me.
That sounds really great. And I think we definitely want to hear more about that. But first, let's take a short break. Okay, so you just told us a little bit about your project and that you want to use it, or that it helps yourself with your own kid. So it's 17 months old right now, right? So how's life been so far with a little kid and as a mom in Germany?
Yeah, I mean, I have so much emotions and I don't know where to start. It's really hard. I mean, first of all, nobody ever told me it's so hard to be a mom, a parent. And especially as an expat in another country where you encounter more barriers. But so far, I found the German system is set up in a way that is, I mean, it's not perfect, but it's already very, very friendly for parents who are at the same time working. So I was surprised that you can already send babies to Kita since 6 months old. That was really something I couldn't imagine so young. But I did something similar. I started to let my daughter go into the Angebono in Kita since she was 9 months old. And also, there were a lot of supporting network around. And when my daughter was born, there was someone from the Social Institute of Berlin coming to house and asking, what do I need? And is there extra help that I would want to? I didn't expect so much at the beginning because I was thinking, oh, it's just some governmental check and it's one will be like boring bureaucracy or whatever. But yeah, but it's a very nice person who came and the information she provided was really helpful. So all those things, I found it okay. It's quite supportive from the system perspective. And of course, everybody knows, I mean, not everybody, but it's very well known about the Elternzeit, Kindergeld and all this kind of things is really quite supportive. But alongside with my hard life as a new mom.
And would you say, especially now that you're a mom and all these things from the German system, you saw more Germanness in yourself? Like, did you see any characteristics you adopted since then?
Yeah, I would say definitely, because I come from China, and in China, everybody is very cautious and nervous when coming to parenting. They worry about a lot of things, for example, about hitting the milestones. If the baby doesn't start to put the head up by 3 months old, they start to really worry about, is this something going wrong? And yeah, but I learned from the German way that babies have their own tempo, that just follow their rhythm and enjoy the time with them. Don't be stressed so much. And also, I took my daughter out already the first week after she was born outside in the snow with the sunshine. And my parents was like, wow, it's so cold outside. How can you take baby out? And yeah, so this part that I think I adopted a little bit the German mindset, just try to be chill and embrace the nature and go out, get some frische Luft. Yeah.
I think I never really thought about this. And I think that's the only part where you can describe Germans as chill, because usually they're also like organized and rule following. And when it comes to their kids, they're more relaxed. That's quite interesting, I think.
Definitely.
With it, a little bit of a crossover right now. The one you were hearing before was Marlene. She's our producer and she's the person behind all of this, and that the magic happens because of her. I'm so grateful for Sayu to let us know a little bit about the chillness of Germans. And you were all talking about having a kid. I think there's so much things that you believe having a kid means. And before we keep talking a little bit about that, Marlene, do you remember your favorite song as a kid?
I think the classic one is Alle meine Entchen. I think it just, yeah, it's stuck everywhere. It's also the first thing you learn when you play an instrument. It's always Alle meine Entchen. So yeah, that was the first thing that came to my mind. Or Christmas songs. I really like those.
Say you for you, do you have like some type of song that were typical from your upbringings in China?
Yeah, maybe the sound that I always sing to my daughter. I wouldn't say it's like the sound that is my fairy childhood sound, but when come to babysitting my daughter, I always sing the song for her. It's about donkey. So it's about like it's about a kid riding a donkey going to a market, and the donkey falls down and the kid also falls off, and muddy everywhere. So it's a funny sound. So.
Is it true that kids fall asleep faster if you're singing to them or telling them a story?
I didn't find it telling them story useful, at least until now, maybe later when they grow older. But singing a song, in my case, definitely make my daughter calmer. So yeah, I think especially if you sing the same song every night again and again, and she kind of associates this song with the sleeping, so it helps.
It's fair to say that repetition for kids, it's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. They love routine. I have to adjust myself to it because I'm such a spontaneous person. It was a really hard adjustment for me.
Well, maybe that is also kind of a German thing to do, making a habit out of things, being a traditionalist. I don't know about you, Marlene, but I do believe that I need my structure. I need my daily routine. Maybe I'm that German at this point.
I always notice when I don't keep my routine, I kind of feel that the day just feels off. Like something's weird. I can't track the time really well. So I like it much better when I have a routine.
We're with Seiyu, and she has created an app that I hope I could at some point also use, because my sleep patterns are awful, and I need someone to cuddle me to sleep. No, not true. My dog sleeps way better than me. I wish I have that amount of relaxedness, I would say, when I'm sleeping, because that dog, he just lays on his back and that's it. Life can be just like that. But regarding sleeping, but more precisely, how was your arrival in Germany? How was it for you to come from China into a German life?
Yeah, so I was talking that actually coming to Berlin was a spontaneous experience, that before Berlin, another European city or country that I was living in was Netherlands, and in Maastricht and Amsterdam. But then my husband and I were just want to try something new and move to another country. So we're just sitting in the train and thinking, okay, where to move? Berlin sounds very nice. It's very international. It's cultural. It's artistic. We heard fun story about it. Let's just go. So we just bought another train ticket and came to Berlin without friends, without job, without apartments, and in winter of Berlin. So you can imagine how crazy. And
in winter. Why? Yeah. Why in winter?
Because we're too spontaneous.
Not even Marlene likes Germany in winter. And she was born here.
It was totally not planned. And also it was right before the pandemic. So the beginning was quite difficult.
Oh, you like challenges.
It's just we're a bit stupid that we didn't plan. And now finally, after staying here for more than 5 years, we learn how to plan and to be more organized and structured. It was just a young spirit stuff that we decided. I don't know.
But it has worked out very well from what I can see. Now you're a mom and an entrepreneur, which is not easy at any point in life, and now you're both, and also a wife, which is also not easy. I keep saying that all to my friends that have kids, like they have kids and a husband that's actually kind of a third, fourth child. Yeah, everybody laughs about it, but it's kind of true. But again, I think I'm between husbands and dogs, and that was not the part of the conversation that I want to get to. But more into your life as a Chinese person in Germany, especially because when you go to, for instance, to the United States, you see a lot of Asian people in that country. And here it's not that many. Have you found yourself like, I'm coming from, when I'm in Mexico, I look very different from all of the Mexicans. So people are always looking at me. And I mean, it's nothing against, it's just part of how it is. Have you somehow found yourself in Germany also like people looking at you, or just like besides the Germans there? Because that's another thing. But how welcoming has been Berlin? All of this to say, to ask you, how welcoming has been Berlin for you?
Yeah, thank you. So very good question. Actually, in Berlin, because of it's so international, so I don't feel I'm so different in a say, that you can see all kinds of people on the street, not only like how they look, what is their race, I would say, or the way even they wear. And you know, people can be different in all kinds of way, and nobody really like giving a judging stare on it. I mean, you might stare on it, but you don't show like a judgy face on it. So that's how I like about Berlin. So you can really be who you are. Yeah, but I guess it's also Berlin. People say Berlin is not Germany. So maybe in other German cities, I could have a different experience. But in Berlin, I really feel the diversity of it, and people can be who they are, and there are a lot of tolerance towards all kind of cultures and stuff. Yeah,
I always want to stretch that out, because sometimes we think that maybe Germany is not that welcoming or Berlin is not that welcoming, but actually it is. We just need to maybe put that information outside and saying like, it is not that bad. I think we tend, especially now that in theory, for instance, München and Berlin are the unfriendliest cities of the world. It's also sometimes good to say it's not the case. They can be friendly.
I think they're just direct. I mean, they don't do like those friendly poker face or whatever. They just direct and say whatever pop up in their mind. So as long as you have this in mind that you know this is not something personal, I don't take things personal, then probably it's fine.
Yeah, that is something Germany is teaches you not to take things personal.
Definitely.
Before we let you go, was starting on your own, being an entrepreneur, how was your journey there?
So again, I found being an entrepreneur is not an easy choice, especially on the top of being a parent. But still, I found there are a lot of organizations that supporting entrepreneurs, especially the migrants entrepreneurs, that talking about the migrant accelerator that I'm taking part in, that they really try to dive into all the challenges that migrant entrepreneurs are facing, and to provide the tailored workshops or events that migrants can also benefit from. So I just feel very grateful that they are this kind of opportunities given for many of us in this country. I mean, we should not take it for granted.
We're going to leave this on that high note, taking those things as selbstverständlich. And it's lovely that to see that there's so much potential. There are so many people coming to this city and to this country and creating great things as the one you're creating. When is your product going to be ready for everybody to use it, and how can we help?
Yeah, so now we are preparing for the beta launch, which probably will happen in 2 weeks. And then we want to test really well the beta version for another, let's say, 2 to 3 months. So basically, probably around August, September, like the product will be ready in the App Store and everybody can start downloading, and yeah, totally public then. But super really welcome to reach out to test the beta version. We need tolerant users at this stage, because this version is not the perfect one, a lot of bugs and need a lot of feedback. So we really also need support in that as well.
How can we reach out for the beta version?
Yeah, so on our website, there is a contact form that you can fill in with your name and email, and then I will reach out for how to access the beta version.
Is there any specifications regarding how many kids, the ages of the kids, or anything else we have to take care of?
Yeah, so the app is designed for not only for babies, but even for a later stage, maximum even until 2-8 years old, because the baby sleep challenges can last for a long time. But for the very beginning, we want to focus in on really babies and toddlers under 18 months old.
Great. Then I just need to have a baby in order for me to use it. But I will share it with all of my friends. And of course, everybody who's hearing us that has a baby, has a kid and needs a little bit of help in the nap time and the sleeping time. That is also important. Are you at some point going to do something for the older people that need to sleep and cannot sleep? Okay, you have answered us. Thank you. Sayu, thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure. And thank you, Marlene, for your insights and help as a German into this international world.
Thank you so much. It's a lot of fun. I'm so glad to be here.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
So as a new parent, a new mom who is growing my first kid in Germany, I'm very curious to know why German parents tend to really like to have their babies barefoot outside, and also especially in winter. For me, it looks super cold, but I'm wondering maybe it's a technique to boost the baby's immune system.
It's a question many newcomers wonder about. Especially if you've ever seen a baby in Berlin parks crawling barefoot on cold grass or even placed briefly in the snow. At first glance, it might look a bit shocking. But it actually says a lot about the specific kind of German parenting philosophy, one that's rooted in trust, independence, and a deep belief in the body's natural development. So, let's start with the science. Babies' hands and feet are often cold, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're freezing. Pediatricians here often advise against overdressing babies. Instead, they recommend checking their neck or upper back to see if they're truly cold. German parents tend to follow that guidance closely, trusting that their babies don't need to be wrapped up all the time, especially if they're active and otherwise content. There's also a development reason. Babies explore the world not just with their eyes and hands, but with their feet. Going barefoot, even on cool surfaces, helps train their muscles, ligaments, and reflexes. It strengthens balance and coordination, and some say it even boosts the immune system. So yes, that little bit of barefoot snow time might just be a resilience exercise in disguise. But more than the medical reasoning, there's also something cultural at play. German parenting tends to be less anxious and less interventionist. There's a strong belief in Selbstständigkeit or independence from a very young age. Kids are encouraged to climb, explore, and sometimes even fall, as long as the environment is safe, of course. It's about building bodily awareness and letting nature do its thing. So while it might not be a calculated immune-boosting strategy, although some definitely argument that way, it's for sure a mix of health awareness, trust in the body, and a cultural comfort with exposure to nature. Even when it's cold. And for many Germans, letting their babies go barefoot is just part of learning to stand on their own 2 feet. Literally.
Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of Plus 49. It is always inspiring to hear stories like Seyus, who is balancing motherhood and building a startup that truly makes a difference. So thank you for sharing your story. If you found value in today's conversation, feel free to share the episode with friends and follow us on social media to stay up to date with everything happening across Germany and beyond. We look forward to welcome you back next week for more insights, stories, and conversations that connect expats and locals alike. Until then, Take care and keep exploring the world around you. Hasta la próxima.